today on Real Radio.
I want you to remember this verse. Man, is it good. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast all arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. You want to know why? Your thoughts will kill you. Your thoughts will destroy you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Life and Bible with a message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. This series is designed to show you how to thrive as a Christian even in all the chaos and confusion of everyday real life. You know, we can't do it alone. However, we need the strength of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to not only do the right thing, but to stand up for that which we believe in. So, what can a Christian do to save their marriage? Well, there's nothing more contrary to being a follower of Christ than divorce. There's no greater test of our obedience to Christ and the Bible than when a Christian is faced with the threat of divorce. Spiritually, a marriage is a union of two becoming one. You no longer belong only to yourself, but to God and to your spouse. So today on day three of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that we're to never let our emotions make our decisions for us. It's not a matter of burying them, and don't let thoughts and emotions destroy you. Instead, find a true Christian friend to intercede for you. And now in his message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Another thing that's very dangerous is people, when you're not hearing what you want to hear, you'll go to church A and you don't like what they're saying. Then you go to church B and then you go to church C, or you'll go to pastor so-and-so and you don't like what they're hearing. Then you go to pastor so-and-so or pastor so-and-so, and you go like a little bee going to flowers until you hear the thing that justifies what you want to do. This happens every day in ministry. I tell you, remember I've told you guys you don't want to counsel with me? I'll just tell you up front. Some of you who may be here, you know what, you know this already. When people come into my office, you know what, this is our last time. This is our last time together. Why? What's going on? We're divorcing. Why? Well, she burned my eggs. Well, his socks stink. Oh, okay. You guys have Bibles? Yeah, they're right here. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to get divorced. Yep. Already contacted the attorneys. Okay. I get my trash can and I hold it. Put your Bibles in the trash can. Excuse me? Put your Bibles in my trash can. Well, why would I do that? Well, you're not obeying it. You're not doing it. In fact, give me your Bibles, and I want you now, because you're already doing it by actions. Listen, I'm not joking. I want you now, before myself as a witness and God who's listening, I want you to denounce Christ now. Well, I'm not going to do that. Then go home and make your marriage work. I'm dead serious about that. Well, that's harsh. That's harsh. You should have thought of that before you messed up your marriage. You want to talk about harsh? That's harsh. Serious stuff. Number four, never let emotions make your decisions for you. Because we all know emotions can make them. Anger, hurt, pain, fear, these things are real, you guys. I'm not saying bury your emotions. You got to deal with them. Anger is a real deal. You've been hurt, you're angry. There's nothing more difficult to deal with than what's called justifiable hurt. Justifiable hurt is when you've been hurt and you are 100% right, man. You were just pouring your life into that marriage and they cheated on you. And then they came back, I'm so sorry, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize how much I loved you until I was in his arms. Well, you oughta. No, I'm kidding. But you know, the feeling. Oh, well, I'm glad you feel better. The feeling, anger, that's real. And it's justified, by the way. Those are the hardest things to get over. But listen, emotions will destroy us. I want you to remember this verse. Man, is it good. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast all arguments and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. You want to know why? Your thoughts will kill you. Your thoughts will destroy you. I want all of you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Go there right now. We're almost done. I want everybody to look in their Bible. Ephesians 5, begin at verse 1. Now, as we read, I'll read it out loud. You follow along with me. But consider the context of a married couple, a husband and wife. Okay, so let's pretend right now we're gonna snap our fingers and we are in a marriage retreat. Okay, you're all married. That's the context. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. You guys, he's saying that to husbands and wives also, okay? But fornicators and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints or believers. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting. That's dirty jokes. But rather, the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Get as far away from people who would pull you down as possible. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Do you work with dirty people? You have to work with them. That's not fellowship. But when the nasty people invite you to their house that night for nastiness, you don't go. Okay? For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Man, is this an indictment on our age? Oh man, check it out. Go to this website. Listen to that. Oh, look, there's a camera. You can watch them. Oh my goodness. The Bible anticipated that. Webcams. Verse 13, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Get your marriage back on course, you guys. The Lord's coming back. Hurry up. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife. Listen, this is great. Husband's going, listen, honey, listen to this. Listen. Yeah, you listen, mister. Watch what's going to happen. Wives, you listen. Check it out. For the husband is head of the wife. Amen. Yoo-hoo. As also Christ is head of the church. Yep, that's me. And he is the savior of the body. So be nice to me, wife. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, die for her. Husbands, get crucified for her. But you have no license to leave her. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Husbands, you're not supposed to point out spots or wrinkles of your wife or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, wives, you should be the biggest defender of your husband or your wife. Man, your husband's out of shape, isn't he? He looks cute to me. He doesn't need to look cute to you. Right? When you do a wedding. And forsaking all others. I love saying that in the wedding. And these two come together today. Do you, forsaking all others, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? It's great. Never once have I seen a bride or a groom go, what? Forsaking everybody else? There's a lot of people in the world. I've never seen that happen. They're just nuts over each other. They go like, move on, pastor, get to the point. Let me kiss her. So husbands, verse 28, ought to love their wives as their own bodies, and he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason a man shall, look at the context. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Point number five, we'll end here in 5 minutes. Number five is this. Find a Christian friend to intercede with you. Are you in the midst of a divorce? Find a Christian friend to intercede with you. You know what the word intercede means? Find a friend. God, it seems to me, God always provides at least one of these people in your life. If you don't have an intercessor friend in your life, it's not because God did not provide. That person, I believe, is there. And that person is this, someone who really loves God more than you is the person you want in your life to pray for you. They really love God more than you. And that's the person you want to have on your side. You want to know why? They'll tell you the truth. And they will pray for you. You need, if your marriage is on the rocks, you need to have a friend. And let me tell you, I wrote these things down. Find a real Christian friend, not a pretend one. There's a big difference. I mean a friend who loves God more than you and will, number one, keep their mouth shut about your situation. There's nothing worse than a person saying, you know, we need to pray for Betty. Let's pray for Betty. Oh, Lord, you know Betty's situation about her. Well, I'm not going to say right now. But you know her husband. Well, I'm not going to say, but Lord, you know. In a prayer meeting. That is one of the most grotesque forms of gossip that could ever be. You want a true friend to intercede for your marriage, to pray with their mouth shut to the world. Number two, they'll stay on their knees for you in your marriage. Three, they point you always back to God and his word. This is the kind of friend that you can pick up the phone and say, you know what? I just feel like, you know, going over there. And that friend says, you know what? You come over here instead. Or I'll meet you at Starbucks. Or I'll meet you at the yogurt place. And we're going to talk and I'm going to pray for you. A real friend. Do you have a real friend? A real Christian friend. You need to find one. This church is big, I know. Some people say, well, the church is too big. Yeah. I don't get that. There's a lot of people to find. There's one friend. You don't need one. There's a lot of people here. If you go to a church with three people, it's going to be kind of hard. Okay, last time. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to wrap it up here. Find a friend that will intercede for you and pray for you. Why? Because you need the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 7, beginning at verse 3. And man, you need to really be listening, everybody, and we're going to end here. That's a big deal, though. You got to really be listening. We're going to verse 3 to 16, and this is something. This is actually brilliant, what you're going to hear. Of course, the Holy Spirit wrote it, so it's amazing. 1 Corinthians 7:3, let the husband render to his wife the affection due to her. And all the wives said?
Amen.
And likewise also the wife to her husband. All the guys said? Amen. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Amen. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but his wife does. All three of you women are happy about that. His body. I told you we're built like trucks. Verse 5, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. Do you guys know what that means? I need to elaborate on that. Don't stop having sex. You should only come up for air. But if you do pause, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And look, come together again so that Satan doesn't tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Listen. This goes both ways. I've heard it both ways. Listen. I don't understand. This is a truly fallen world. When I hear a wife say, comes into the office, I don't know what's wrong. What is it? He won't have sex with me. He says, I just don't even think about it. I just don't. Are you having an affair with somebody? Is that why? No. I just don't. How long has it been like that? Oh, forever. And then they leave, and the next couple comes in, and he says to them, it's completely reversed. The next person, if both of them had the same drive, there would either be no children on the planet, or they would never go to a job because they would never leave the house. So I guess in the wisdom of God, it's got to be balanced. But the amazing thing is, so many marriages, because of communication breakdown, because of lack of physical contact, because of the lack of sweet words and kind words to each other, it's just like a corporation under a roof. It's ice cold. Satan loves that. Man, he's really working in that place. The Bible's so wise. Make sure that you come together, husband and wife, or else Satan's going to tempt you guys. Boy, that is true. And so, verse 6, but I say this as a concession and not as a commandment. Verse 7, for I wish that all men were even as I am. Paul was single. He was married and then he became single. You see, well, how do you know he was married? Because he couldn't have been a Pharisee. Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin. He had to be married to be a Pharisee. Paul was a Pharisee. What happened was, we do not know. Either his wife died and he became a widow, or she left him because of his conversion to Christianity. We do not know. Nobody knows. It's interesting, huh? He says, but listen, for I wish that all men were even as I am, that is now single. But each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and one in the other. Paul's not saying, you guys all got to be single. He's just saying, look, if you're content being single, then I am, and that's great. But not everybody has that. It's wise. Verse 8, but I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am, that is single. But if they cannot, because of self-control, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to divorce from her husband. But even if she does depart or divorce, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe, an unbelieving wife, is your wife a non-Christian, and she is willing to live with you, let him not divorce her. See how God honors marriage? The unbeliever wants to stay in the marriage. Well, I'm a Christian now. I guess we got to get a divorce. No. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified, that is, graced or covered by God, by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified, graced or covered by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy or set apart. But if the unbeliever divorces you, let him divorce you. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? In other words, are you married to a non-believer?
Yeah.
Then live, that's your mission field. Live to win them to Christ. If that unbeliever says, you know what? Your Christianity drives me crazy. I'm out of here. I don't want anything to do with God. And I'm divorcing you. The Bible says, not only are they free to go, you are also free. Well, free what? You're free to remarry again only in the Lord. These are very, very simple, clear instructions. Powerful. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. with sensitive things. Things, Father God, that in our brief time together cannot all be addressed, cannot all be taken care of, but that's where your glorious Spirit comes in. That right now in this room, there are so many tales to be told, pains to be quenched, thoughts to be sequestered, and even still, Lord, arguments to be made, cases to present. And Lord, tonight we recognize the futility of making such cases and arguments before man. We have been created by you. You have engineered marriage. And Lord, we are in need. I pray, Father, for all of us tonight, from those that have the greatest marriage to those that are tonight, maybe this is their last moment, they think. I'm asking you, Father God, to sovereignly move and soften hearts. Your Bible tells us that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And I'm praying right now, Lord God, that that man would unlock his arms and release his jaw. And if there's any divorcing going to go on, that it'd be the divorcing from feelings and emotions that have robbed us. And Lord, that we would decide tonight, we're going to make our marriage work. Maybe tonight there's somebody here that the paperwork is well underway. You've already paid this attorney, this and that. And my friend, God doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about attorneys, just that they might be saved. He doesn't care. I thank you, Lord, that there are people in this church now who once were divorced. They were married, got a divorce, and got married again to one another a second time. That's reconciliation. So may nobody tonight see themselves too far, too gone. And Lord, for all of us who are men, we need to lead the way. We like talking about leading, but we rarely do it. And anybody can march a football team down a field. It's another thing to bless his wife. And I pray, Father God, that you would make the men of this church men indeed. Lovers of their home, lovers of their wives, defenders of the faith. Father, I pray that every married man here, even if he recognizes it or not, agrees with it or not, I'm asking you, Father, to sovereignly storm the gates of his castle. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce. So glad you could join us today. And you know, our prayer is that you seek the Lord in all things, including your marriage. Being a Christian in the Midst of a Divorce is part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on how to apply God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack and Lisa wrote a book on marriage and family? It's called Turnaround at Home by Jack and Lisa Hibbs. God can change your life and your marriage as you put Christ first. In that way, we can leave a spiritual legacy to our children that's more than what we received. Pastor Jack and Lisa are very candid about their upbringing and what God really wants to do in their lives. Again, the book is called Turnaround at Home by Pastor Jack and Lisa Hibbs. And for a gift of any amount, you can order it when you call 877-777-2346. Or it's easier at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Let me give you that number again, 877-777-2346. Or find the book at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.